working God. If you have your Bibles tonight, be turning to the book of Mark, chapter 14. I want to say thank you to Brother Jason for allowing us to preach tonight. I tell you, he did not have to do that. Been just fine to be in service with you and hear Brother Daniel. We appreciate Brother Daniel and his ministry, and appreciate your pastor. Appreciate Brother Tom. He's come down, preached for us last night, did a great job, and the Lord really helped us there. We appreciate that. I tell you, I have the same lines, Brother Daniel, is where you was at. And I tell you, that's what I feel like preaching. So yes, that's what we're going to go with here tonight. Book of Mark, chapter number 14, and then I'm going to go to Genesis 8 after this. I'm going to start at verse number 32. The Bible said, "And they came to a place which was named Gethsemane, and he saith to his disciples, Sit ye here while I shall pray. And he taketh with him Peter and James and John, and began to be sore amazed and to be very heavy. And saith unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death. Tarry ye here and watch. And he went forward a little and fell on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt." The book of Genesis, chapter number 8. Real quick, I'll read a couple of verses from there. I'm going to start reading at verse number 8 there. Read down through verse 11. Genesis 8 and 8. It said, "Also he sent forth the dove from him to see if the waters were abated from off the face of the ground. But the dove found no rest for the sole of her foot. And she returned unto him into the ark, for the waters were on the face of the whole earth. Then he put forth his hand and took her and pulled her in unto him into the ark. And he stayed yet other 7 days. And again he sent forth the dove out of the ark. And the dove came in to him in the evening. And lo, in her mouth was an olive leaf plucked off. So no one knew that the waters were abated from off the earth."
Yes.
If the Lord would help us tonight, I want to preach on an olive press and an olive leaf. An olive press and an olive leaf. As we go back to our text in the book of Mark, we come upon the story of Jesus and his disciples making their way to Gethsemane. They had finished the Passover by this time. They were walking down through the Kidron Valley. And down through that Kidron Valley at this time, they were slaying a lot of the sacrifices already. Was in order, and they would dump that blood into that Kidron Valley, is what the commentators say. And so no doubt that was already in view, Brother Tom. They could already see what was going on. And that was already Jesus in his mind. He knew that was soon to be him.
Right.
In just a few short hours, he was going to be the sacrifice on the last altar for all of mankind.
Right.
The book of John gives us a little more of a behind the scenes look at this journey down through the Kidron Valley into Gethsemane. And several chapters there gives us a lot of the conversation and the backstory. And John even tells us that Jesus stops and prays for his disciples during this trip here that they were making. And so they were making their way to Gethsemane. And if you look this word Gethsemane up, this place was a place where Jesus would often retreat to. He would get away and pray. He would get away from the crowds and the multitudes that would throng him. He would resort there, and it was a place that he could get alone with God,
right,
with him and the Father. And he could shut the world out for a while. How many knows we all need a place like that?
Yes.
We all got to have a place like that where we can get alone with God, shut the world out, shut the problems out, and just be you and God. Well, this was that place for Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as he was walking the earth as the Son of Man. He would gather in Gethsemane, him and his disciples, and they would spend some time there. They would resort there. But this time he was going, and he was under an intense load. He came to this place called Gethsemane, and it was a place that in the original, it means olive press.
Right.
It was an olive press, and still is to my knowledge this day. I haven't been to Israel, But they say in the Garden of Gethsemane, they still grow olive trees there. And at the time, that was a place where they grew the olives, and then they had the press there, and they would press them olives until that precious oil would flow out from them.
Right.
They would pressure it and push it and squeeze it until the oil flowed from them. Jesus and his men arrive at Gethsemane, and he leaves 8 of his disciples at the gate. He takes the other 3 in with him and tells them to pray with him. You all know the story. And so this was a place this night of intense pressure. It became not a place of pressure only for those olives that were grew there, not only for the olives that were meant to be in that press, but this was a place of intense pressure, and it was a night that it would press our Lord and Savior, and he would go through the olive press in an intense way. There were pressures that came to him from the inside. The very language that we read in these scriptures lets us know. The Bible said he was sore amazed. This phrase means he was struck with terror.
Yes.
Yeah. Now you realize this was the Lord walking as a man, 100% God and 100% man.
Right.
He did not shrug himself of the duties or of the feeling. There's a doctrine out there that said Jesus went through it, but he never felt nothing. Friend, that is a lie. That is not true. Jesus did not shirk that responsibility, but he endured it for our benefit, for our betterment. He was very heavy, the scripture said. It speaks of a condition of great distress and of great anguish. He even said, my soul is exceeding sorrowful. That means literally to be overwhelmed with sorrow. Jesus said, I am literally overwhelmed with sorrow, surrounded by sorrow. And then he went on to say, even unto death. He was at the point of death, friend, in the Garden of Gethsemane. You know, I think sometimes we read through it, Brother Tommy, if we're not careful, and we just read it as a story, but it's much more than that. Yeah. Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane was under such pressure that he was literally at the point of death. There is such a thing as so much sorrow that people can die from sorrow alone. People have died from sorrow alone, and that's the place that Jesus was at. Internal pressure, facing the things, knowing what was coming, around in his mind, knowing that he was about to become sin on the cross, knowing the intense pain he was about to suffer, knowing that for the first time in history, he and his Father would be separated, the sky would fold its curtains, the Father would turn his back, and Jesus would stand suspended between heaven and earth, with no Father, all by himself, no friends. He knew what he was about to suffer, and he was under pressure from within. Brother, let me tell you, we've got pressure, don't we? Pressures on the inside. Pressures in our mind. That's the point that Jesus was at this point in time.
Yes, yes.
Intense pressure. Pressure from within.
Yeah.
Pressure from without.
Man.
We read in the book of Luke his account. He tells us that Jesus was in agony as he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat were, as it were, great drops of blood. He prayed with such intense and with such earnest that his sweat became blood. He was literally sweating blood, external pressure. While Jesus Christ was God in the flesh, he lived in a human body that had limitations. He grew tired, didn't he? He grew thirsty. He grew weary. He chose that. He chose to do that. His body was under intense pressure, but not only pressures from without and pressures from within, but there were pressures from beneath. I believe it's not clearly written in the Word of God, but I believe no doubt there was that time that the devil was after Jesus more intently than he had ever been throughout his years on earth. The devil understood that he was headed to Calvary, and he knew that if he went to Calvary, then it was all over. If he made that sacrifice, if that blood was shed, then it was over for the devil. was an all-out attack from hell. His friends had betrayed him. The father was going to turn his back. He had all this going in, inside, outside, and from hell beneath. Brother and sister, do you feel like you're there? Have you felt like you've been living in an olive press? Jesus was pressed out of measure. How many times have we experienced that? Internal pressure?
Yes, Lord.
We think, what if? What if?
Yeah.
How many times has that phrase come to our minds?
Yeah.
What if I wouldn't have done that?
What if?
What if I'd have chose that route?
Yeah.
What if I'd have said this? What if I'd have done this?
Right.
Hey, you can't go back and do it over.
No.
That opportunity's gone. That's the enemy fighting your mind.
Right. Yeah.
That's the enemy tormenting your mind. What if I'd have done the such and such? What if I'd have took him there when I had the chance?
Yeah.
What if I'd have sold him that way when I had the chance? Hey, that's just the enemy of your mind. Internal pressure. There's external pressure. There's people that have opinions, like we already said. They're telling you what you should do. They're telling you what they would do. Most of the time, they don't even know what they do because they've never even been there themselves.
Yeah.
But there's so much pressure. Pressure from the news media. Pressure from the government. Yeah. Pressure from wars and rumors of wars, and our minds are bombarded, and above that there's the pressure from the enemy of our souls, like Brother Daniel already talked about. We get pressures from the doctor's report, pressure from the lawyer's note, pressure from the banker's note, and we're pressed in the end and without. And sometimes we're so pressed we don't even know what to do.
Yeah,
we don't know which way to turn. We don't know what to say.
Sure.
We're pressured. Pressured. Paul in the book of 2 Corinthians.
Yeah.
He was writing. He said we were pressed out of measure.
Pressed out of measure.
Above strength.
Wow.
In other words, beyond their strength.
Beyond.
They were pressed beyond strength. More than in themselves they were able to bear.
Amen.
He said, we could not take it another day.
Yeah.
We couldn't take it another minute.
Come on,
he said, in so much that we despaired even of life.
Yeah.
They had the sentence of death hanging over their head.
Yeah.
Paul said, we were so stressed we couldn't take another second of it.
Yeah,
we didn't think we could take another minute of it. We didn't think we could go another second living like we were living. We didn't think we'd survive to see the daybreak. But listen to what Paul said. He said, but God, which raised us from the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. You know what he said? He said, the God that hath delivered, past tense, the God that doth deliver, present tense, and the God that will yet deliver, future. Hey, you look around and you're pressured and you don't know what you're going to do. But I tell you, take a look behind you and see what God brought you through. How can I be sure, preacher, that I'm going to come out? How can I know that God's going to bring me out? Because the God that hath delivered does deliver. I said that God that already done it will do it. And he'll do it yet on. Lift your hands and worship God. The God that hath delivered is the God that doth deliver. So tonight I came not only to expound on life in the olive press, and I'll be quick, I'm not going to hold you long.
Come on, buddy, come on.
But I came also to extend an olive leaf while you're in the olive press.
Yeah.
Go back to our text scripture in Genesis quickly. We find Noah, who was still on the ark. He had been in that ark for a long time.
Yeah.
There's different beliefs on how long it took him to build the ark and so on and so forth. But it was years, decades and decades.
Yeah.
And now he'd been shut up in this ark for days and weeks.
Yeah.
And it had been, no doubt, a horrible time. There was a storm brewing.
Yeah.
There was no doubt people they loved that was on the outside of that ark that they knew they was never going to see again. What about the families of them daughters-in-law that were on that ark? They didn't make it onto the ark. You think they missed them? Sure they did.
Oh, yeah.
You think they was pressured by the idea that if they ever got off that ark, no doubt that was rolling in their mind, are we ever going to get off this ark? No doubt they was coming to Noah and they was saying, Dad, what have you done? Glory.
Hallelujah.
You're going to come out after a while. It ain't always going to be that way. I heard Adrian Rogers say, Brother Jason, when Noah went onto that boat, he was the minority.
Yeah.
When he come off, he was the majority.
Yes.
He said when he went in, he didn't have much probably to his name. But when he come out, he inherited the earth. Hey, it was better on the other side.
Woo!
It was better on the other side.
Yeah.
Genesis chapter 9 reads to us like this. After Noah had gotten off the boat, he had made his altar. The Bible said, and Noah lived after the flood 350 years.
Wow.
Did you catch that? And Noah lived after the flood. Noah lived after the flood. I want you to hear that tonight. Noah lived after the flood. Hey, you say, I don't know if I'm going to make it. I want to tell you, you're going to make it. I don't know if there's life after this. There's life after this. You're going to come out stronger. The Bible said the same thing of Noah, or of Job, rather. Job went through the horrible trial, the test of his life. But it said, after this lived Job. After this lived Job. Hey, there's life after the storm. If anybody's been pressed, if anybody's under the pressure, and you don't know what you're going to do, hold on to God and let Him see you through it. Let Him see you through.
Hallelujah.
Naomi, tell us about it. Are you Mara? Are you still bitter? No, that's before life after the storm.
Yeah.
That's just while I was going through it. I ain't bitter anymore. I'm blessed.
Right.
You see my little grandbaby? Don't you see what God's done? Don't you see this life? I know I suffered a lot of death. I lost my husband. I lost my sons.
Yeah.
I suffered a lot of death. But God has gave me new life.
Yeah.
God has granted me new life. There's life after your storm.
Right.
You know, Lazarus found that out, didn't he?
Yes, he did.
Dead 3 days.
Yeah.
Come on.
4 days, rather.
Yeah.
Dead 4 days. Jesus came, called him out of the storm. After the olive press, I want to close with this. After the olive press, Jesus went to Calvary willingly.
Really?
Of his own accord.
Thank God.
Betrayed by Judas, hung between two thieves. The devil did not kill him.
No.
The government did not kill him.
No.
He said, I willingly lay down my life.
Right.
No man taketh my life.
Right.
But he laid down his life because of love.
Right.
Because he loved us.
Yeah.
He went. The Father turned his back. Stood suspended between heaven and earth. Without a friend in the
Praise
world.
God.
Everyone had betrayed him. Peter had denied him. Judas betrayed him. And then he went into that tomb. Now you're talking about a dark time for the disciples. That was not what they was expecting.
No.
That is not what they had in mind. They thought they was going to set up a kingdom.
Right.
They was ready to rule and to reign right now.
Yeah.
That was the deepest, darkest hour of their lives. Jesus had been hung on the cross. He had died. He had been placed in the tomb, and the stone rolled in front of it, and a seal set upon the stone, and they thought they was never going to see the light of day again. Hey, that was an olive press, friend. They were in an olive press, but the old song said, and now for the greatest story of them all. Jesus was a dying, and hell had a ball. All the demons were rejoicing. They thought they'd won the war, but soon they would not be laughing anymore. Because on the first Easter morning,
yeah,
when the sun woke up the earth, all the caverns of the deep opened up as to give birth to a resurrected Savior with healing in His wings. Let all God's children rise and sing. You know what the chorus says? I've got a feeling that everything's going to be all right. Hey, it might look dark. You might feel doomed. You might feel like you've been living life in the olive press. But I came to give you an olive leaf and tell you I believe that God is going to come to your rescue. Would you lift your hands all over the house tonight? I believe God's going to come to your rescue.
All right.
Woo!
Yes. I believe God's going to help some people.
Yes, he is.
I'm nothing or nobody by no means. But I know God.
Right.
I know God.
Help us, Lord.
And he's never suffered the righteous to be forsaken. There's some people been going through it. There's some people been under some pressure. But you just hold on. God's going to help you. God's going to help you. You know, God's not going to leave you there. You're going to come out of that olive press after a while. You're going to come out of that ark after a while. And it's going to be better than you ever thought. Praise God. God's going to make it better than you ever thought it could be. Hallelujah. God's got a way of making a way. Praise God. Lift your hands up and give it over to your pastor.
Oh, yes.
Hallelujah.
I believe the Lord come by here tonight.
Yes, it is.
Somebody that's going to help you through. Don't you? Let's stand across this house. Amen. Let's be reverent to the Spirit of the Lord that's in this house right here tonight when we find an altar and say, God, won't you bring me through? Hallelujah. Woo! Lord, I know you can bring me through. Come on, church. Come on. Let's get these altars tonight. Let's seek after it. Let's reach for it. Let's believe God is able to do it right here tonight. Come on, saints of God. Come on, come on. Let's pour these altars. Let's pour our hearts out for the Lord right here tonight, God.
Oh, God, what you do, Lord? Jesus, what you bring us through the other side? And after this, Noah will live. Glory to God. Hallelujah. After this, Noah will live.
Hallelujah. Lord, I see another battle, and it's right in front of me. I'm afraid I won't be able, that I'll go down in defeat. But he said I walked on the water, calmed your raging sea. see another battle. I won't be able.